Praise the Lord. And welcome to this moment in God's presence in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for a moment like this in your presence. Thank you for your grace, goodness, love, and mercy. Thank you for what you have been doing in our lives. Thank you for granting us another moment, O God, in your presence. We're going to hear from you again. Speak to us, bless us, and do good to our lives. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, welcome in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, this moment, as we take God's word, I'll be speaking on what I title, Whatever He Tells You to Do. Now, do it. Taking from two verses of scripture, and then we'll just discuss it and pray. Let's read for the first place from the book of John, where Jesus turned water into wine. John, the book of John, chapter 2, and just in order to get the background, let's read from verse 1. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto his servants, Whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Then the story continues, but we will not continue reading it based on what we have. Of course, if we continue reading, you will see that those servants obeyed, and then the water was turned into wine. Now, the Bible says there was this wedding, this marriage program that was held in a place called Cana of Galilee, in Galilee. The Bible says that people went, and Jesus also went with his disciples. And as he went, something happened. In the midst, in the course of the ceremony, they lacked wine. The wine finished. There was rancor, there was problem, there was confusion. The enjoyment, the joy in that wedding was truncated because there was no more wine. And the Bible says the mother of Jesus came to him said to him, "They have no one." And Jesus responded, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? Can you imagine?" You see, my hour has not yet come. It's like asking him, why are you, I'm asking her, why are you coming to me while it is not yet time for me to do anything in this dimension? But the Bible says, Mary went to the servants and told them, "You see, whatever he tells you to do, do it." Now, what is the problem? There was a joyful moment, a moment of jubilation and celebration, but it was frustrated because wine got finished. I want to say that God is God of restoration. Even as we are into another year, whatever has been lost in the previous years, He's out to restore. Whatever is the issue in your life over the years has frustrated your joy in life and your joy in the Lord, the Lord will frustrate it and cause a restoration in the name of Jesus. Now, this is the issue. The response of Jesus to Mary looked offensive. But one thing is this, Mary did not pick any offense. Remember, Jesus talks even in the capacity, in his capacity as God. And thank God that Mary knew him. She never picked offense. Maybe by saying, am I not your mother? Why do you talk to me like that? And then got offended. No. She knew Jesus. Those who know their God, they shall be strong against offense, strong against any form of retaliation or whatever. Let me ask you, are you strong in the Lord? So you shall be strong and do exploits. Now let's go to the next issue. You will discover that when Mary spoke that and Jesus responded, Mary knew who he was dealing with. He knew how to make him act, even though he said his hour had not come. We'll get to that as we move ahead. The Bible says, Mary spoke to the servants. What did he say? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And that is where we are. Now, the issue is this. Can you imagine Mary talking about Jesus, saying, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, she knew. Remember that this man had been with her for up to 30 years before that day. She knew her dealings with Jesus all that period. You can imagine moments that Jesus can speak to her about certain issues. And when she decided to take action in the direction of what Jesus said, she began to see results. You can imagine that as Jesus was growing, there were some strange things that were happening for good in that family based on what Jesus could say. Those things could not be recorded in the Bible. There are things that he has observed this young man that was growing up with him, that he was manifesting, that his word was able to do even when they were together at home. Thank God. And she knew these things and kept it in her heart. She knew that when Jesus says something, something will happen. She has studied, she has experienced, she had already known him for that time, for a period of time before that day. And she was confident that whatever Jesus ever said, even in their family, even in their house, whatever this young man ever said, it used to happen. Once you do it in the way he said you should do it, Mary knew. So Mary was not just talking just because she wanted to talk. Mary was talking. I know she was talking from experience. And I want to say to you, henceforth, you will know God even by your experience in relationship with him. You can't be close to God and lack experience of God. You can't be close to God and not see things that other people have not seen in God. And the more you relate with him, the more you can relate his acts to others. The Bible says, Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's like telling them, I know him. Once you have the opportunity of hearing from him, just do whatever he says. Pray for you that the privilege of hearing from God, you will receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. The privilege of hearing what God is saying at any point in time in your life, receive that privilege in the name of Jesus. Grace to know what God is saying about you per time. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Mary knew that when Jesus spoke, she knew that when Jesus speaks, he used to speak beyond his physical age. Jesus was just about 30 or thereabout at that time. But he knew from my experience that this young man does not just speak by the age that he is. He speaks as God. He had experienced Jesus for a long time, that he does not speak anyhow, but he speaks words that are reliable. She knew it. She knew Jesus, that Jesus does not speak anyhow. Rather, she speaks reliably, reliable words. He speaks reliable words. He speaks what is reliable to force things to fall in line. I pray for you this moment that what will cause your matter to fall in line, God will speak to you in Jesus' name. That is to say, when you rely on God's word, things will fall in line for you. Let me ask you, what do you rely upon? What do you rely upon? If you rely on God's word, situations, things will fall in line for you. Now, do you know that Mary did not ask them, tell him to produce wine for you? Tell him for wine, for him to make wine. But what did he say? Ask him. To tell you what to do. That is to say, he asked them to expect God's, Jesus' instruction. And let me say to you that when you wait for Jesus or God's instruction, you are ready for a testimony. You are going to receive an instruction that will grant you, will give you testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus was being approached by these servants. But what was the approach? The approach was that, what do we do? We have no one. Jesus, what do you expect us to do? What do we do? We lack one. We don't know what to do anymore again. We don't know what to do again. Give us. We need one. What do we do? Let me say this. That it was a moment for them to wait and to listen to Jesus' instruction. And here it is. Jesus uses men as his tools of construction by giving them instruction. Did you hear that? God uses men as his tools for doing his construction by giving them instruction. So when God gives you instruction, it is a privilege for you because you are suddenly an instrument in his hands as he holds you to carry out a construction. Did you understand? When God begins to give you instruction, you are already a privileged individual that he is about to hold, to handle as an instrument. For his word, for construction. So, what are we saying at this point in time? God is willing to use you as his instrument of carrying out his purposes in the lives of others. What happened before the water was turned into wine? First, Jesus had to give a word. Now, when Jesus gave the word, look at what happened. He saw the result of what he said. As Jesus gave the word, he had already seen the product of what his word said. Take note of this. But the servants could only see what he saw by doing what he said. You may not understand I will come back to explain. When Jesus spoke, he spoke what you already saw in the spirit realm. He spoke what was already, when he spoke, that thing was already brought into existence in the spirit realm. But it can never be translated into physical thing, into a physical thing. It cannot be transmitted to being seen. I mean, to be seen in the physical realm. Unless those servants have to do what he said. Now, this is the issue. There are many people. They only want God to do something, to do something, to do something. But they forget that God, in several occasions, he does things with men. He walks through the works of men. He acts through the actions of men. He brings things to happen. But for those things to be seen in the physical, in several occasions, it is men's efforts that finalize God's performance. What did the Bible say here? The Bible say they went and did as he said. You understand? So, what has God spoken to you? Are you just somebody that always want to receiving of instruction without taking action is tantamount to not receiving any instruction? So, you see, the servants could only see the result of what he said by doing what he said. So when you stay on what he says, you will see what he sees. When you stay and stand on what he says, and you don't deviate from what he says, you will see it as you act by what he says. May God help you. What had God said to you? What had God said concerning you? In any form, in any way, in through any medium, what had he said? And I want to stay by his word and create a world for yourself through that word. Now, when the servants did it, it came to happen. That means obedience is the bridge for accessing what God has processed. God's word is God's processor. God processes what he says. What he performs, he processes it by his word. But you can only assess what he processes by acting on his word. So, acting on his word is the bridge for assessing what he processes. So what God has processed can only be assessed by those who obey his sayings. What God has processed can only be assessed by those who take action on his word. Taking, believing, and taking action on God's word is work in order to assess what he processes. What God processes can stay unassessed until you rise up to act. Now, it is only men of action that can cause that can act or that can really operate in the frequency of the spirit realm, thereby transmitting it into the physical realm. Did you hear that? The spirit realm, what goes on in the spirit realm, can only be transmitted into the physical and visible realm by men who obey God's instruction. Now, obedience is a bridge. Okay? So, you know, God, he sees what he says, but we see what he says by obeying it. God may only be the one that sees what he says coming to pass, but for you to see it also coming to pass in reality, you can only do that by obeying and acting on it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, look at what is happening here. God said something. Jesus said, "We have filled the water pots." I mean, you are going to do something. Fill the water pots with water. I said, we are not going to deal with that for now. So, what God says may remain in the spirit realm until man's faithfulness, faithful obedience rather, releases it. It is your obedience. It is your obedience of an, your faithful obedience that releases what God have done in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. So it is disobedience that takes away a man from God's hand of performance, while obedience puts and keeps him there. Hallelujah. A man of obedience is the man that is on the hand of God's performance. When you choose to obey God, you put yourself on his hand of performance. So when you want to move his hand, he moves you. I pray for you to understand this. Men of obedience and men that listen to the words of God, men that listen to God's instruction in order to act on the instruction, they are always placed on the hands of God. So they move by the movement of the hand of God. I pray for you that you move henceforth, that you move in life, because God has seen you as a man of obedience, your move will become the move of the hand of God. That when you move in your action, when you move to do things, it is because the hand of God is moving somewhere. So when you act, people see the hand of God in action. Pray for you that your movement from now on will bring forth the saying that this is the hand of God. You can't move in obedience to God and not demonstrate the hand of God. People who move in obedience to God demonstrate the power of his hand. Remember when Moses was doing what God was saying in Egypt, it came to a point, even the magicians, they said, "This is the finger of God." Men of obedience are men on the hands of God. Do you want to stay on the hand of God? Then obedience is a certificate for staying there. But when you begin to disobey God, you remove yourself from his hand of performance, and then everything about you will be ordinary. You can't be on the hand of God and operate in the realm of only the ordinary. So, you know, Mary seems to have said, although he said that his time had not yet come, but you can create an emergency for him through your obedience and faith. You hear what I say? when he said, "Woman, my time has not, what do you have to do with me? My time has not come." Mary did not struggle with him. From her experience, she knew that there is something that can trigger him to take an action, to do something, even if he feels it is not time. This is where I want you to listen also very carefully. Jesus has already like warned Mary that look, my time has not come. That is to say, as for now, I don't have the time for this one to do anything now. But Mary could not take that. Because he knew Jesus. Say, yes, I know you. I know you. I know there are moments you can talk like that, claiming that it is not time for certain things. But I know what used to move you into action. And he went and leaked it, and leaked that secret to the servants. So, just go. Simple thing you will do. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So it's as if when those people met Jesus, you're like, we don't know what to do. What do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? This time around, we want to do something, but we don't know what to do. Just tell us what to do. It's like, even if you say your time has not come, yes, but we want to do something, just tell us. Just say something, that's all. We are not expecting you to go and bring wine somewhere. No, but just tell us. We are the ones to do what you say. That's all. Tell us what to do. And when Jesus saw that they have faith in him, when he saw that they believed in him and they are ready to obey him, when God sees faith and God sees obedience, listen, it creates an emergency for him. That is to say, faith and obedience in the life of a man causes God to work even on emergency. Jesus said, no, my time has not come. But when the people came to him, he had to act on what emergency, because he honors faith, he honors obedience. So, faith and obedience can fast forward divine intervention. Faith and obedience in the life of a man can fast forward divine intervention. Let me say to you, there are things that you can keep waiting for too long, and they will happen at the time you think it is time for them to happen. But there are things of emergencies that you can move God to do something because you have faith. Do you remember that woman that came to Jesus? He said to him that his child is sick or something like that. What did Jesus say? No, it is not good to give the children's bread to dogs. He said, even though it is not good. The dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table now. Jesus was stirred up. So, wow, I'm not seeing such kind of faith. I used to say, you know, the woman was not really a Jew. And this thing that was happening was at the time that Jesus was visiting the Jews. But that woman, by her faith, I can say he fast forwarded what Jesus, the gospel was to reach the Gentiles later on. Salvation was to reach them later on. You know, even when he was talking about somebody, say somebody was, he was healing on the Sabbath, say, ah, this, how can you do, you Pharisees, you last, when your ass or your donkey or whatever your falls into the well, or don't you remove it on the Sabbath day? What about this one who is a child, a daughter of Abraham? So it was her what? It was her right, so to say, to receive that that healing. Had he been, she was not a daughter of Abraham, then maybe her time had not come. But this woman, that woman, who was, is it a Syrophoenician, not a Jew, had to fast forward the act of Jesus' miraculous delivery healing, even at that time. Why? Because she was not ready to stay like that. She was ready to stay with the world, which is Jesus. The Bible says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So, when you wake up in faith, you fast forward things that would have waited for long. That is to say, faith quickens divine intervention. Faith quickens divine intervention. Don't wait. If you wait, divine intervention will wait. Wake up in faith. Wake up in the place of obedience. This year you will wake up in the place of obedience, in the place of faith, so that things that have been waiting for long will no longer. You can never wake up in faith and obedience and not stop what has been waiting from waiting. In other words, what has been waiting will now take place when you wake up in the place of faith and obedience. God will grant you obedience this time in Jesus' name, even more than before. Now, look at what Mary did. Let's go back to Mary. Mary became an instructor. If you watch what happened there, Mary did something. Mary became an instructor to open their eyes unto divine instruction. Now, let me, there is something I'm trying to bring out from here. When the wine finished, remember that Jesus was not going to say anything. He was there, but was not going to say anything. God was there, but God was not going to do anything. But there was somebody that knew God, that knew him, and that was Mary. And what was Mary going to do? He was going to transmit her understanding of Jesus to these people. He was going to give them, she was going to give them an instruction that was going to open their eyes to the direct instruction of the Lord Jesus. May you understand what we're saying. Who was Mary now? Mary was not going to be the one to carry out that wine production. No. Her word was not going to be able to cause them to bring to change the water into wine. But because he has been with Jesus, because she knew Jesus, because she has known the importance of the words of Jesus, she became an instructor that introduced them to the chief instructor. God, may you understand, in Jesus' name. So there are instructors that when you sit under them, when you sit under their instructions, when you sit under their teachings, when you sit under their counsels, when you sit under their admonition, when you sit under their word, when they release God's words unto you, even instructions from God, of the word of God unto you, your eyes will open. And as your eyes open, it will open you up in such a way that you can now begin to understand and to know and to hear what God is saying directly to you. May God grant you understanding in Jesus' name. So there are instructors, there are instructions from teachers, there are instructions from fathers, and so on and so forth, that grants a man entrance into divine instructions from God Himself. Now, I pray you understand this. Are you prepared for an access into the realm of divine, of hearing divine instruction and directions from God? Listen to your God-ordained instructors. Some of these instructors, they may not tell you directly what God, what you just need to do to bring that result straight. But they give you instruction that can propel you to take a particular action with God, to take a particular posture with God. That posture that will now position you into hearing the matters of the moment for your own specific situation, life. May God help us in Jesus' name. For example, you go for a meeting, or maybe you meet somebody, and then as you are interacting with him, suddenly he gives you a word. That word now prepares you to the place of this of prayer. It prepares you to go on a 2 days retreat. Prepares you to study a particular chapter of the Bible. In the process of your study, you now begin to see, to receive some instructions from the Word of God. If it is in retreat or prayer, you now begin to hear directly what God is saying. Now, what has made you to go to that point? What has made you to enter into that dimension? It is because an instructor has given you an instruction. And as you act on the instruction, the chief instructor, God, is now giving you his own specific instructions for yourself. And I know this year, you will not lack instructions that will propel you to have direct access to God for your own specific instruction in the name of Jesus Christ. So Mary just went to them and told them, look, just meet him. And whatever he tells you to do, do it. I know him. So how do you sit down? How can you sit down? How do you used to sit down to listen to instructions from servants of God? Child of God, do you want God to do something spectacular in your life? Sit down and listen to instruction from servants of his who have gone close to him. Those who know him, sit down and listen to them. Your listening to them is a gateway to you hearing even more directly from him. No matter who you are, when you sit under instruction, you will receive more instructions. Those who sit under men that God has granted grace to release his instructions, they will never lose his direct instructions. Of course, those men, when they are talking, they may not know what God wants to speak to you as a person. But they will tell you what to do to access those instructions. May you not fail this year in Jesus' name. So, they are gateways to your direct access to divine instructions. So, there are men that God has placed at the gates to open the gate for you to access God's instruction. May you not miss them this year in the name of Jesus Christ. So, they are gateways to your direct access to divine instruction. Now, whom do you therefore listen to? Who is the man, therefore, that you listen to? Whom you listen to? Listen very well. Whom you listen to determines which spirit speaks to you. The spirit of your instructor determines the spirit that you have access to. The spirit upon your instructor determines the spirit that you have access to. Who is your instructor? Who do you listen to? That is why there are men that are worth listening to, and there are men that are not worth listening to. when you listen to a man that is worth listening to, you will end up worthy of being listening to also. You will also end up with results, because he's speaking from the right source. Now, before I close, I want to know that Mary, therefore, as an instructor, was not a direct revivalist per se, a direct provoker of that celebration, but he was an agent of it. She had experienced Jesus over time and then became a trigger into that situation. Now, listen to this. Do you know that if you read the book of Genesis, let's go there. Read Genesis chapter 41, verse 54 to 55, or thereabout, 54 to 56, thereabout. See, to conclude this, and the 7 years of death began to come, according to as Joseph has said, and the death was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was no bread. And there was bread rather. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Pharaoh and go unto Joseph, what he said to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. If you read verse 55, to conclude this talk, the Bible says, Joseph also was another man in the Old Testament that something like that was settled. There was this 7 years of famine that started in the land of Egypt and other parts of the world. And it was so severe, and the people ran to Pharaoh. What do we do? There is famine everywhere. And what did Pharaoh say to them? He said, go to Joseph. Go and meet Joseph. Whatever he say, do it. Hallelujah. Look at a man again. The people saw Pharaoh as their head. But Pharaoh was just an ordinary head. But in the real sense, in the spirit realm, Joseph was the head. And one thing is that Pharaoh has learned by experience and by what he has known concerning Joseph, that he was the one that had the solution. Go and meet him. Whatever he says, do it. I pray for you that you will come to a point with God that your word will be an oracle. That you will become an oracle for God. Listen. That what God desires of us as children of God is that when man comes to us, our words to them solves problems. Pharaoh said, look, as far as I'm concerned, I have no solution. Go and meet Joseph. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And I want to say to you, Joseph did not just attend to that one anyhow. He attained to it by a consistent work with God. He attained to it by a consistent consecration with God. He attained to it by a consistent growth with God. That's the point. He will grow with God and he will place you to at a level that your walls will become reliable for men's solutions. Go and talk to Joseph. I pray for you that you will stay in the presence of God to the point that your word will become God's word. That your word will go beyond oratory to becoming oracles. You see, people in the world, they applaud orators. But real men of change are oracles. Pray for you this year by reason of your relationship with God and consistency with God in terms of your consecration and fellowship and communion with God, you will be turned from an orator, going beyond an orator, to becoming an oracle. Say, go and meet you. Now, Joseph heard what it is, and the people rushed to Joseph. And what they needed, they were able to get it. Until the end of that famine, Egypt was sick, was saved. Why? Because there was demand. I want to say, the days have come that people in high position, they will look for you because you carry what they know they don't carry. When you carry what men know that they don't carry, they will be forced to come to you. Pray for you. It's not a matter of how much, where you are even placed in society. You can be the least person, even in your place of work. But when you carry God, when you become an oracle, men will come there. Even your head, even your employer, even those that are your bosses, they will come to you because of what you carry, because you are an oracle. You don't even need to be struggling. I want to become number one here. God is the one that promotes. But wherever you are, you can become an agent of transmitting God's purpose, like Joseph was. Mordecai was one before he was promoted to become one of the heads in the land. Pray for you this moment that what it takes for you to become an oracle, receive it in Jesus' name. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. As you obey God, you will come to a point that when you speak, your word will transmit obedience to others. May you obey the word of God to the point that you will speak obedience into others. When you begin to speak obedience into others, yes, you have become an oracle. May God take you to that point in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Grant us understanding of your word and bless us the more in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.